I love this gospel reading. It's oftentimes referred to as the gospel, the story of the rich man, the story of the rich man. I have a different title for it, though. I call it the story of the second from last. Story of the second from last. What does that mean? Do you ever notice when we talk to each other, talk to people, contacting someone about something you want to talk about, usually the thing that you want to talk about is like the second from the last thing you talk about? Like, for instance, say you have a sister. I don't have a sister. Say you have a sister. How's it going? Yeah, we had a great summer. How are the kids doing? How are they doing in the new school? Good. Yeah, we're doing all right. The kids are great. You know, Bob's got a new job, and we're doing all right. And, you know, the conversation goes on, you know. And all of a sudden, you know, wow, look at the time. I think I got to get going. Hey, by the way, so are you hosting Thanksgiving, or are we doing it this year? Oh, good, you're doing it. That was the purpose of the phone call. You know, but it's like the second from the last thing you talk about. That's what I mean by second from the last. Look at this gospel reading today. So, a man who's described as having riches comes to Jesus to say, you know, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus basically says to him to follow the commandments. That's kind of what he says. But notice what he says. He says, you know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. It's not all the commandments, but you notice the phrase, do not defraud? That's not one of the commandments. I'm not saying it's a good thing to do, but it's not listed as one of the commandments. It's thrown in there second from the last. And I wonder, I've tried to picture this story of if you would do this in a play of two people playing these characters, or if Jesus did this himself, you know the commandments, you know. He knows who this man is. This man comes before him, and he knows he's a man of means, and he wants to follow Jesus. He's a good person trying to follow Jesus, and Jesus challenges him, follow the commandments. So he says, you know the commandments, don't murder, don't commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. And picture him looking at him and saying, and you shall not defraud, like, blink, blink, like, I wonder if that's how you got your wealth in the first place. Do not defraud, Mr. Rich Man, you know, and then the other commandment. You know what I mean by that? It's like he's challenging him. And it says that the man walks away unable to respond to this call that Jesus gives him. Now, we can hear that story ourselves and kind of look at it and say, gosh, give everything, you know, that's a lot. But let me go back a second. We've talked about this in some of our adult formation classes. We've been doing the Beatitudes. One of the things to remember is how difficult it can be for us to read Scripture and to really understand it. The first followers of Jesus were really the poor, the enslaved, the oppressed, the sick, what Richard Rohr would call people at the bottom. History is often told by the wealthy, the affluent, the powerful, the influential. History is often told from that perspective. The Scriptures, however, is this unique literature that I would suggest was not. It was written from the perspective of those who were oppressed, those who were enslaved, those who were poor, those who had no power, those who had very little resources. And I wonder if you look at this story that Mark is telling in his gospel, Mark's telling this story, he's sharing this story in the gospel, that the hearers of this story are not the rich and the affluent, but they are rather the poor and the enslaved and the oppressed who have already given up everything. They have nothing left to give. But what they have done is they have formed this early, early, early Christian gathering, what Bishop Curry calls this Jesus movement. They've gathered together, they've given up everything, and they care for each other, they support each other, they love each other. And so they hear this story. It's as if Jesus is saying how difficult it is for him, but you have given up all. and gather together as a community of faith, caring for one another, loving one another. Do you hear that different perspective in that story? And this man who walks away, it's not perhaps that he just doesn't want to give up all he has, but perhaps that defrauding thing is the part that he can't let go of. You know, what is it he can't let go and become something new, something different in his life, and he walks away. One hopes that eventually this man did come to Christ in his own life. But to hear that story from a different perspective, from a different angle, to understand who to whom this story was probably being told, particularly in Mark's gospel. This was a community who cared for one another and shared their life together, shared everything they had. I've been really taken the last few weeks about our 60th anniversary that we had. What an incredible celebration that was. We were really anxious. You know, over a year went into the planning of this 60th anniversary, and then the date had to change because of the storms, and we were concerned that perhaps everyone wouldn't be able to be here and everything. You know, people had their schedules arranged. But on that day, it was just an incredible day a couple weeks ago, where over 560 or so people gathered together to celebrate St. Paul's. And to hear some of the stories of some of the early founders, to have Waite Macklin with us, who was the second priest here at St. Paul's, had a chance to also have some conversations with him about stories from that time. To hear those stories and to see where we are now, what I've been hearing, and over the years of my time here at St. Paul's, what I've seen and what I hear from those who've gone before us, this may sound overly simplistic, but I think St. Paul's has in its DNA this sense of being a community that cares. We care. We care for each other. We care about each other, not only pastorally, but in ways of friendship, fellowship, ways of deepening our faith together. We care about each other and the different things that we do together. We care. And that caring is really almost a learning place so we can go beyond ourselves to care. To care about this world, to care about these turbulent times that we live in. At the clergy conference, our conference was on, you know, preaching in turbulent times. We live in such conflict, such turbulent times, and we're called to care for this world, to go beyond, and we do it already. You know, there's so many, I mean, we just had, I think it's still going on, our packing of meals over here, Rise Against Hunger. We're hoping to pack 10,000 meals today. Over 60 people from St. Paul's gathered in that parish hall to pack meals, these small plastic bags of food. 10,000, that's 10,000 meals that will go off into the world to feed the hungry. And so many things that we do here where we care. We care about refugees, how many families we've welcomed here and supported as they begin this new life together. We work at Appalachian Service Project. We work at Dorcas Ministries. We work with Food Pantry. We work with Urban Ministries. I mean, the list can go on. We work with the homeless. The migrant workers. We go forth because we care. We care, and we want to make a difference. St. Paul's cares. St. Paul's cares. And that's something that we can sometimes just take for granted. But it's a part of who we are. And we now stand on the shoulders of those who cared before, and we're called to continue that walk, that journey together. And so during this anniversary year, we've invited ourselves to be aware of that, to celebrate who we are, but to also then invite us to perhaps find a way to provide some financial resources to support this caring, support this parish community in all that we do, both within our community and beyond our community. And so we invited you to make a gift to the Capital Campaign, 60th Anniversary Capital Campaign, to kind of sustain some of these facilities where need be, fix them, renovate them, if possible, expand some areas where we can do more things, where we can care more as we want to care. And so we invited you to kind of make a gift to the Capital Campaign. And that's an opportunity in the life of a parish. A capital campaign doesn't come along every year. It comes along every 5, 7, maybe 10 years. It's an opportunity to step forward and make a gift to the campaign in whatever way that you can. And today, October 14th, the day we invited you, if possible, to bring your pledge, to make your pledge. And we thank all of you who've been able to do that. This doesn't mean today is the deadline. So therefore, if you haven't made a pledge yet, you can't. But any pledge is welcome to support the vision that we have here, this being a caring community and sustaining these facilities that enable us to live ever more deeply into that caring, to nurture and care for each other, to be sent forth into the world. And now we begin our stewardship time of the year to support our operating budget. And some people may be looking at, George, how much? Well, I got this letter, all this. Stewardship time is where we look forward to supporting the ministry of this parish. Every year, we give something to support the budget that supports the ministry, not only within this parish, but beyond. And I know the Capital Campaign Committee will agree with me that pledge is the most important pledge that you can make, the most important gift that you can make to this caring community that cares both within for ourselves and cares for as we go beyond. So I encourage you to see what you can do to make a gift. The vision that people have, the more I listen to people, the ministry of this parish is so energized and called forth. And if we do the things that we would love to be able to do, our budget does need to grow, perhaps 5 to 7%. So think about that when you're thinking about making your gift, when you prayerfully consider your gift, if you can grow to that depth as well. If you've never made a pledge, if this is something you've never done before, please try to step forward and do that in some way. The rich man, Jesus said to him, sell everything. Well, we're not being asked to give everything, but we're being invited to give something. Something. And I would invite you to consider that the something you give is something that not only changes and shows a care and concern for the world beyond, the ministries beyond our parish and within our parish, but that giving not only changes those to whom it's given, but changes us as well. That's always the measure of a gift. Does this gift impact my life, that my life has changed because of that giving, because of that gift? So please prayerfully consider and know that some people have been hesitant to make this. You've maybe never been part of a parish life before. This may be a whole new thing to you. You've never made a pledge. Some people are hesitant to give a pledge because I don't know what I can give, George. I don't know if my job is secure enough yet. I don't know what expenses we have coming up. I've got a parents I'm caring for. I want you to know that it's not uncommon for people to make a pledge. And during the course of the year, their situation changes. And their giving has to change, and that's fine. Don't be afraid of that. That's happened in my life, where things change, and the giving has to change. But to make that step forward in faith, that leap of faith in many ways. So I invite you to prayerfully consider what you can do to contribute to the Capital Campaign, which continues to support these incredible buildings that we have. We're not here to build temples or basilicas or cathedrals. We're here to sustain and build buildings that show this caring community to be what it is, a community that cares for each other and also cares about this world beyond us. And also be able to give in such a way that we continue to support this incredible journey we walk together. I love this parish of St. Paul's. I know you do too. And invite you to do whatever you can to step forward in faith and continue this incredible journey that we are on together.